The Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Emil Bender-Lassen, who is the co-founder of Home.Earth, which is a European real estate company setting out to develop urban communities with inclusivity, livability, and sustainability at its core. And Emil, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and kick it off. And if you don't mind, give us a high-level overview of Home.Earth, your mission, vision, all that good stuff.
Sure thing. So we are a an impact real estate company. We're founded in 2021, so we're quite a new company, founded in January of this year. And we've set up the company to demonstrate a new way forward for real estate. So I think the folks I started the company with and myself, we grow increasingly concerned with the way that cities are developed. So we basically see a growing need for affordable housing and new models for developing homes for all groups of society, especially in urban areas. We also see that a lot of cities are slowly being segregated almost into office ghettos and residential ghettos, low-income ghettos, high-income ghettos, whatever you call it, and thereby the cities growing less and less like diverse and inclusive. And then finally, we see a growing pressure on the planet that is simply not sustainable, like the real estate sector, as many will probably know by now, is using like 39% of all energy-related CO2. It uses a big chunk of natural resources, water, generates about 40% of waste as well. So we simply need to do this in another way. So to us, it's basically quite clear that we need to rethink how we develop cities. And this is even more urgent now, as we will see a very strong urban population growth in the coming 30 years that will basically reinforce this pressure that we already see on our cities and our planet. So Home.Earth is basically a group of like people like myself. So we basically assembled a team that is super experienced. Now I'm mostly talking about my co-founders because I'm myself not in a situation where I've had a long career before this. But some of my co-founders include folks across Denmark, Finland, Germany, and the Netherlands. And they include Rasmus Nørgaard, who founded NREP previously, which is one of the largest developers in the Nordics. We have Nicole Marsen with us, who's been with Marsen Group, Centrosag Mea, ING beforehand. We have Gernot Strobe on the team. It's previous senior partner at McKinsey, Karel van Houde, who's done stuff with Citizen M Hotels, Casper Gulaya on sustainability, and the list continues, right? We're 21 people now, if we're counting our two interns, Marlin and Alec, who joined us this week as well. So it's really a journey that has been very exciting in these first months.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love everything you guys are doing, the vision, the mission, and everything like that. And, you know, you brought up a really good point because, you know, a lot of the real estate development in the United States, where I'm based, is completely behind the curveball when it comes to sustainability, inclusivity, and livability. Yep. And from my perspective, it seems like Europe has always been ahead of the curve. And for you all, you are actually taking the curve and, you know, the European curve, which is ahead of the United States, and going even further when it comes to hitting these mission goals of inclusivity, livability, and sustainability. Is that a safe assessment there from my perspective?
Yeah, so I will answer your question in two parts, because I think the first thing to say is I'm not a real estate guy myself. I founded a social mobility charity in London before joining Home.Earth. So I don't feel like I'm the right person to speak on whether the US or Europe is further behind. But to the second part, like, I definitely think that we're trying to push the ambitions further up. The thing is that we have a lot of the answers when it comes to how we can develop cities in a more sustainable, inclusive, and livable way. We just don't do it because right now we're kind of stuck in this paradigm where buildings are seen more as an asset class than a product that people, say, live in or work in or go to a cafe. And if you think about the many use cases that buildings have in our lives that are very, very central. And because of this asset class thinking, we basically focus so much on just squeezing out profits. And that's why we compromise so much on the sustainability bits. We compromise so much on developing inclusive buildings and rent models that allow for all groups of society to be here. So we are very much in business to show that on market terms, that it's possible to actually implement all of these practices into the core of the company and still make a return that is high enough and sustainable enough for the investors to hopefully join this journey and get a more balanced return out of it, but still a return that should be sufficient for them to join this journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if you don't mind, I know you all are new, and thank you again for doing this podcast with us, especially since you're a really new organization, but I understand you all have a plans for acquiring your first site and hopefully beginning construction towards the end of this year. And would love to hear about kind of Home.Earth in action right now.
Yeah. And that's a question I love to talk about, because we could set up shop and focus a lot on being a think tank and rethinking things. And certainly we will do that as well, and are spending a lot of time basically developing our aspirations and making them more concrete. But we want to go beyond PowerPoint slides and nice aspirations. So we have a pretty active pipeline already, and we're currently evaluating about 7 opportunities across Denmark, Finland, and the Netherlands. So building rights will be just north of 100,000 square meters if you look at those 7 opportunities. And I'll let you calculate that into a square feet if you'd like to have it instead. The projects that are closest to being closed are 2 very exciting projects in Denmark. So one is a standing asset in central Copenhagen, where we can basically like acquire and start testing both some of the stuff we want to do on the rent model, where we will be employing a dynamic rent model that basically allows some tenants to pay below market rents, so that we really make this inclusive. But we can also test some of our approaches to community building, integrating technology into the landscape, and so forth. So that's very much the goal of the standing asset. So it's a pretty small project, about 40 units. And we actually expect the deal to go through already in October, which is quite exciting. So that means we will have our first tenants hopefully already in this year. The second project is somewhat larger. That's a greenfield project of about 12,000 square meters just outside Copenhagen. And this plot is basically the perfect pilot project for us. It's in a new neighborhood called Nærheden, where you have about 8,000 people living in total, 19 building grounds. And right now there's no active ground floors, no retail space other than one supermarket. So you basically have this entire new neighborhood and one supermarket as the only point of interest. So we will basically be acquiring the last site there, where we will have about 2,000 square meters of retail ground floors, where we can basically create a vibrant hub for the community. So integrate and basically meet the demands for retail and community houses and stuff like that. And then 10,000 square meters of residential homes on top of that. I know we wrote on the website that we will start construction in this year already, and that will probably end up being a bit too ambitious because things just take their time. But we hope to start construction in Q2 next year. We already have completed the concept design with 4 different architectural companies, and they've basically shown some really, really impressive work, I think. So great translations of our aspirations into reality. So we're continuing the work on basically developing the project. We're very, very close to signing the SPA, and we'll basically start getting very concrete in developing the project in just after summer. So it's a very exciting project there, where we can really integrate the 3 aspirations we want to showcase to the world.
That's awesome. So the specific community outside of Copenhagen you were talking about, tell us about some of the sustainability elements that will be built into this community effort, if you will.
Yeah. When thinking about sustainability, we normally chuck it into 3 pillars. So one is the way we build. So we will focus a lot on building in a circular way, which means that you can basically both replace elements during the lifetime of the building, but particularly at the end of life, the idea is that the materials do not need to go to waste, but can instead be either upcycled into new projects or disassembled and then be used for other projects, or even the same project if you refurbish the plot. So circularity will be a big part of this that will both bring down waste and in general make maintenance much more sustainable as well. Second element has a lot to do with the climate part, so carbon emissions and so forth. And on that regard, we both will be very conscious about material choice. So we hope to be building solely in wood and in steel, so no concrete, which is already bringing us quite far ahead on the climate journey. We will also be thinking about recycled materials and so forth. And then finally, so there's no such thing as a sustainable construction process right now. It is just it has a significant footprint to build buildings. We can't get around that. It takes materials, it takes energy and so forth. So regardless of how sustainable you build, you will always have a residual CO2 footprint. And we want to remove that as well, so that we can basically go into being a carbon neutral or even carbon negative company over time. And the way we do that is by basically investing in truly decarbonizing assets. So not just snazzy CO2 quotas you can go to some website and buy, but actual projects like forestry, direct air capture projects, carbon currents and stuff like that. So different elements there. So that's the second part of the climate or the sustainability aspiration. And then quickly, finally, we think a lot about how to integrate nature into our buildings as well. So we will actually be doing baseline mappings of biodiversity, for example, in our Nærheden project, to basically see how many different biotopes you have out there, so animals, plants, and so forth. And our aspiration is that we will at least add to that. We would never reduce the amount of biodiversity in the different plots. And we think that's both great, of course, for nature, but we also think it has a lot of positive like benefits for the community and for the tenants out there, that we maintain some urban nature, because that just, especially in Corona times where a lot of us have had to work from home, like not seeing green stuff for a long time is just like deeply negatively impacting our souls almost. So we hope to maintain elements of that in the in all our projects as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks, Emil. Appreciate that rundown there. That's all really good stuff. And also, too, your website is home.earth. You all are .earth domain users. Why did you choose .earth?
Yeah, so I think it's a quite fun story. So my co-founder, Rasmus, who's really the guy taking the initiative to start home.earth, has been shopping a bit around on domains in the past couple of years because he started dreaming about this company. And for a long time, he was close to selecting something on like alongside the Donut Capital or something like that, because we're very inspired about donut economics as well. But we landed on home.earth, and we'll actually use home.earth as the name of our company as well. And I think we like a lot of things about it. We love that it like this notion of combining the home and the earth, the fact that these two things need to go together. We like the connotation that it almost shows a little coordinate system, that you have your own home on earth. So it shows both that we all need some home on this planet, but also that we're all part of a bigger system with which the earth shows us. So we've just kickstarted some of our branding stuff, and our branding folks are pretty excited about it as well and see a lot of opportunities in integrating this. So we think it's pretty powerful. And obviously, as I think this podcast is a good example of as well, it seems like we're tapping almost into a small movement of companies placing themselves in a category of companies that want to have a positive impact on Earth. So that's certainly nice as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, appreciate your insights there and love that backstory there. And I think you hit the nail on the head. We call it the .earth domain tribe, and it certainly is growing. And I think it's a lot of like-minded organizations and people like yourselves. And there's just so many organizations that could use it, which was such an awesome surprise to us, from like geospatial mapping companies to yoga studios, now to real estate companies. There's a lot of people really embracing .earth. And it's awesome to hear you mention that there at the end of your response. And, you know, Emil, this has been an awesome podcast, and I'm really excited about your vision here, because I think this is really where real estate should be going, just overall in the entire world, if you will. And would love to hear, what's the future vision for home.earth? What's the long-term goal here?
Sure thing. So I think the long-term goal is to move the industry, right? So actually inflicting systemic change. So we will not be hiding what we will be doing in any way. Rather, we will work in open source. We will share as much as possible. We will challenge the industry, but also try to pull them in this direction. So the long-term vision, right, is to really change real estate to serve the whole rather than the few, and really implement these aspirations we have into the sector at large. And to get there, we believe it's just necessary to demonstrate that it's possible in the first place, that it's possible both to build in this way without the economics going bananas. It's possible to get investors alongside this journey as well, because capital is the natural need if you want to do this at scale as well. So in the shorter term, like I think we have like four things ahead of us. Like one is really developing those aspirations and making them much more concrete, so that we can really like really showcase how we want to implement these different principles into the approach and really make sure that these aspirations are woven into the fabric of each project. Like the second thing that we will be spending a lot of time on in the coming months is our first fundraise. So we need to capitalize the company. For now, we're basically relying on funding from ourselves, so like our founding team, which is sufficient for both like a first couple of site purchases and a bit of the development of the first projects. But naturally, again, capital is needed. So we're right now hunting for aligned investors and have some great dialogues already, both in Denmark and abroad. And then obviously, third point is our first projects that we will be developing. So that's super exciting. And that's really where we translate the aspirations into reality, which is picking up at a faster pace right now. So post-summer, that will be a really interesting journey. And then I think a final thing that we have in front of us is being integrated further and further into this community around us, the real estate industry, the impact investing industry, the social housing industry. Like there's a lot of great actors in the industry or in the sector already that we want to be part of. So we're also becoming a B Corp and exploring that to basically tap into this movement and really showcase that we're here both to do stuff and demonstrate a new way forward, but very much also here to share what we're learning on the way and hopefully learn from others as well, because that's definitely going to be necessary for our journey to be realized as well.
All right. Awesome. Well, this concludes this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview with Emil Bender Lawson, who is the co-founder of Home.Earth, which, as you heard, is a European real estate company that's setting out to develop urban communities that have inclusivity, livability, and sustainability at its core. And Emil, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Really fun.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.